I'm Van.
I'm Zoe.
That's Cherry.
Cher.
This is kind of like a weird chair. We're kind of sharing one. My booty's on the arm of this chair.
Yeah. Why don't you push over a little bit?
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
Oh, my booty. Thanks, sure. This is the band we're going to see tomorrow. Nebuvascaris.
Yep.
Devour Me Colossus. So, I know that we're late. Apologies.
Better late than never.
But as we showed you on Instagram, we didn't even unpack our clothes. We went right to the recording. So, without further ado, this is Devour Me Colossus, Nebuvascaris.
Yep.
I was listening to this in the car. I'm like, yes. And
I was asleep, so I haven't heard it.
Sori was asleep, so I really wanted her to hear it. So, and I commanded Zen and Tim to.
Oh my gosh.
To play this song. I threatened them both. My friendship. They must be like, who is this delusional child?
They're like, who is this?
Who is this person?
What is your name again?
What's your name again? Who are you? Nah, they were cool to us. All right, ready? Devour Me Colossus. Go!
I don't know.
wake up. Please wake up. Sorry,
no,
please.
I'm glad that I didn't.
Please wake
because
up.
Because I wanted to react to it anyway.
Share this song.
Isn't wow.
This song is badass, man.
I love how they're like, their music, it always has such a complexity to it.
I know.
And like, I feel like when we were talking to Zen, that he didn't seem to think that about his own music.
Well, I asked him if he was a prog fan, because there's another prog band
right.
that I'm
yeah.
not a fan of. You're a fan of them, I'm not. And I asked him if he liked prog, and he said no, he's a black metal guy.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like prog.
Yeah.
I don't like prog either, but I'm making an exception for this band, because this band is badass.
Yeah, but they're not just prog. I mean, Zen's vocals sound like
death metal. Those are like...
Yeah, death vocals.
Well, he's into black metal.
And
actually.
Then, yeah.
Emperor.
And then you've got Tim doing pretty shit, you know? Like, and they combine it all together.
I emailed...
Is Tim the one that does the violin as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, yeah.
He's.
I said, my guy.
He's got a lot of beautiful sounding music inside.
My guy, you carry that song.
Yeah. It's probably, like, maybe not something that he wants people to say about him, but it's very angelic, the combination.
Well, he looks like an angel, too.
Kind of,
tall and shit.
Yeah,
fucking
with the blonde hair.
Well, a medieval angel.
Yeah.
We know the real angels look black. No, I'm just No, but it's such a cool contrast between him and Zen.
Yes,
Zen's like the dark lord of, you know.
Yeah.
Very nice fella. Scary as hell. And then, he's not scary, but you know, he's just dark and then...
No, the way that he, you know, and the vocals that he uses and stuff like that, it sounds like really...
Well, it's interesting in Lost, you know, we didn't finally finish yet, but there are the two brothers that rule the island. And one of them's in all black and the other one is like blonde haired, kind of whatever. And so it's kind of like, yeah, oh, it's 7 and 10. They get along. They're like Cain and Abel. The brothers in on the island. But, yeah. Oh, man.
Really cool, man.
That like, last section with the instruments.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the dude came in with the metal. Oh, my gosh. I was like, what?
I really, really liked the ending, too, where when he was, like, saying bloom.
Oh, yeah.
And then Zen's vocals came in.
Bloom!
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I like the, can you pull the lyrics back up, babe?
There was one particular lyric that was, like, unbelievably amazing to me.
I like when they say stuff like, where is it?
He said, "Aw, damn, where is it? Where is that?"
Yeah, he said, "Aw, damn, where is it?" Right in there. No.
Just tell me what it kind of sounded
well,
like. I'm trying to find.
Go to the, right here. Oh, stop. Stop. This was only one of them. We're, a burning gauntlet held to her breast. That one, and then there was slightly after that one where he said something about, well, this line, the stars steal my eyes and the sun sears my mind.
Well, that whole little stanza.
I don't
stanza,
even know what we're even talking about in this song.
That this stanza is crazy. Flesh to flowers, blood to river.
Whoa, yeah. My breath
line.
To the wind. Oh, that's the part.
It's
yeah, this
line.
Is the part I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And then remember I said he said something about himself? My breath to the wind, like those words.
Yeah.
You know,
this
holding
is like
a gauntlet to her breast and then breath to the wind. And like, I love like... That type of poetry.
It's, yeah. That line right there, I got to see him when I talk to him. I'm like, how the fuck did you come up with that? Because that's beautiful. Flesh to
did
flowers.
Did Zen come up with that?
Yeah, these are all...
he writes all of it?
Yeah, if you were paying attention during our interview with
him. Well, babe, there's been a lot of interviews and a lot of information that I've taken in over a short span of time.
He's a primary lyric writer. That and we got literally... You got literally no sleep last night.
No, because that stupid hotel.
Up to the trenches. All right. I'm sure there'll be an SJW riding in to save you. I'm actually pretty tired myself, but I really, really like this song. Flesh to flowers, blood to rivers. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
God, this is a lyrical masterpiece, but that section, man, like it's like one of the best sections I've ever heard. And I'm so happy that they let it play out. They're like, okay, to 12 minutes long. It's got to be what it's got to be.
It never feels long.
I know. But like I said, I've listened to 4-minute songs that have been like...
I know.
I keep checking. Forever. When is it going to be over?
I'm worried.
We had one recently.
I'm like worried about like standing for like 2 hours or whatever at the concert because I'm like, oh my gosh, how is that going to be? But then I'm like, it's probably not going to feel like 2 hours. Like
no, because there's Winter Sun too.
Yeah.
Winter Sun is, I mean... We're lucky. You're lucky this is your first show. But yeah, I cannot say enough about that segment because like at the end of the day the music has to move me. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. The music has to move me and I love the metal attitude.
I'm
just
sorry.
Like, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I love the metal attitude just like, you know. And so it's like there's some bands that are very proggy, very nice, and all that. It's like, at the end of the day, like, I'm a metalhead, I want to rock, I want to, like, expend some energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so there was that little section was like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Pretty sure that was the bass.
Oh yeah, that was really unique.
That was, never heard something like that before in my life. Never heard, and then...
My mind was like, what instrument?
I'm pretty sure that that's the bass. And it's like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Which, of course, nobody uses a bass.
Like that,
you know, like I hope they featured the bass, but that bassist was a badass.
Yeah,
like he was just like he's killing it.
If the drummer too. At one point, he's like,
but then like the metal guitarist came in to accent that.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh!
I loved it.
Yes,
I loved it.
I felt like a badass listening. I'm gonna make sure that we line up where the other there's a guy with like long hair and he like rocks and stuff that like
you
he's
kind of
that's my brother in the I love such a good band
this is like gonna be such like a cheap like analogy but it's the best one I could think of on such little sleep. Remember we went to the movies last night and we were there and I was like I was super excited because I was seeing a movie that like I wanted to see that like
Lights Up Down.
What was it called? Something about El Royale. Bad Times at the El Royale. Yeah, that one. Like, I saw the previews and I wanted to see it, so I'm like, Vin, and I was explaining the movie to him. Well, anyway, so we get there, and then I had my water exactly like I wanted it. I was very excited, and then, like, we walked in. It was like, I was just excited about the whole event, and then we walked in, and they friggin' had recliners in the cinema. Like these leather recliners, and they went way back, and I was like, so I was happy, perfect, like everything was good, like going to the movies, and then like I was like, and recliners, and so like this band is like, it could be just instrumental, you could just have no vocals.
I know.
And so you're like, wow, this is great, you know, the movies, the popcorn, the whatever, but then all of a sudden you're like, and vocals?
You heard it, and freaking really insanely beautiful.
I know, it's like. To combine all of that, there's so many people in that band
that are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. They all have like different. There's one guy, guitarist guy. He's bald and he's kind of like the scientist.
Yeah.
With his instrument. Then the other guy on the extreme other side, the other guitarist is like typical Viking metalhead. And then you've got Zan, who's the Dark Lord. And then you've got Tim is an angel. Sorry, Tim. And you got that bassist who's just like, it's unbelievable. And the drummer, I mean, the drumming in this song is insane.
I think that Tim is a very important part of this band. But I wonder, like, does he ever, like, think, I'm going to go off on my own? But I think he should stay with them. I don't think he should do that. I think that they make such a great...
Well, yeah. I think he can probably... They're probably going to do... I mean, we know that Zen's doing a side project with Schoolcraft.
Yeah.
So, that's like, true. But there's something about... I'm sorry. There's something about the magic of this band. When they all get
together,
they are insanely talented.
But I would be interested to see what Tim comes up with him by himself.
Right.
Like, what does he do, like, if... Because I'm surprised that he's in a metal band.
I think he used to be a music... He used to be a music teacher, I'm pretty sure. So, I don't know, but... Yeah, I mean, they can go off and do side projects, but they're
awesome combination.
Like, yeah, what these guys are doing right now is insane to me. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable stuff.
Oh my word! Special. I'm so excited about tomorrow.
Yeah,
I hope I'm not sick.
This is a fucking very very special band right now.
Yeah.
very special band. I literally, we don't talk about instruments a lot because we're very lyric heavy on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
On our channel, but the musicianship.
But some of them.
Is just, will blow you away. They require it of you. Yeah, the musicianship on this song
is blowing me away. It's in your face, and you're not going to get out without saying it.
That's the problem that I have with so much prog. It's like, okay, like, we know that you're, you know, it's like I told Lindsay, it's like, yeah, okay, you know, but I don't see the need for it. But this shit right here, man.
I feel like that this is something else other than prog.
I mean, I don't know.
It's in a whole other category. It's like a whole, I don't know. To me, it's in another category. It's like very,
I don't know. They're just themselves, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
You know how Beethoven's been gone for a long time, but you're like, that stuff is like legendary.
Right, timeless.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I feel like that this captures metal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's
this song is a timeless song.
Yeah, it's timeless, yeah.
It's not one of those songs, like, 20 years from now when another reaction channel starts and they, like, dig up Mail Loose Cars like we've done with Dio or whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, that shit is going to be able to be play ready, like, in 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is some classic shit. It's unbelievable. I can't get over it. I can't get over the musicianship. I'm very excited. That's why, like, I reached out to both of them. I'm like, this song is going to be there. Because I just didn't want to, like, look forward to it. And not, like,
it doesn't sound like it's on the list, though.
No, it's on the list.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Zen was like, oh, you may be in luck. He was being all subtle and shit. Tim responded, because Zen was on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, all right, he might be in luck. I was driving, like, completely irresponsibly. But then, like, my little notification, because Tim emailed, I emailed Tim. I said, unbreak my heart, Tim. And he laughed. He's like, yeah, it's on the list. I'm like,
Yeah, he didn't want to tell me.
Yeah, he wanted to
it
make me
suffer. It may or may not.
Ma'am, it's probably the first song on the freaking set list. Fuck you, Zen.
Okay. Oh, no. I want to talk to you like that.
Okay. Unbelievable song. Unbelievable instrumentation. God Almighty.
All right, so what are we talking about?
So I think that... So this is a concept record. You know how we always say? But it's got to be, because look... Painters of the Tempest Part 1, Wormholes.
Yeah.
Painters of the Tempest Part 2, Triptych Looks.
Part 3.
Painters of the Reveries from the Stained Glass Womb.
That's really cool sounding.
A Pyrrhic victory is when you, like, you know, you won, but the cost of winning was more than the gain of winning. That's what they call a Pyrrhic victory. And then,
really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I actually really like that.
I won a lot of Pyrrhic victories in my life.
No,
the cost of winning you is worth everything. please devour me. Oh, I'm not gonna go devour me Colossus Part 1 and then devour me Colossus Part 2 Contortion. So I think that there are some references probably to the other songs that we will probably miss, like, for example, Abysmal Wormwell.
Yep.
And then there's, you know, Wormholes.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think there's enough here for us to be able to
still
figure it out. And at the end it says, he uses the term citadel at the end too, right there. The black hole ignites my world in bloom. Here I stand, citadel, here I stand. So, but citadel here is a citadel of hope and white fire. Mm-hmm. So citadel is like a fortified tower or whatever.
Yeah.
In the Persian context, a citadel was a warrior outpost / temple simultaneously. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so like in I think it's Ruth. You had the Citadel of Susa.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so it's like, it's a religious / military complex at the same time.
That's really weird to combine the two of those.
But it seems like this is describing kind of despair, a little bit of nihilism in there, and, you know, going into a black hole.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting because you know, if you look at the imagery of a black hole, it's like, oh, a black hole.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. But then he's talking about the colors colliding.
I know.
And the black hole igniting and his world going into blue.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I guess if you think about nihilism or emptiness or somebody coming looking at the end of their life or killing themselves or whatever you want to talk about it, you know, when he says my world in bloom, you know, like explode, you know, is he talking about explosion? Is he talking about going into the black hole? Because that would, your world would be then blooming because you'd be all the, I forgot who it was. I want to say it's Christopher Hitchens or Richard Dawkins. Where he was talking about, like, if he was to die or whatever in the last moments of his life, he'd like to get launched into a black hole to see all the colors and time and all the rest of it. I wish I could find that quote. Yeah, because, like, it's, there's a lot of theories about what the hell actually happens when you go into a black hole.
Yeah.
And so it's like, maybe it's kind of trying to figure out what like, let's say that I was to die, right? Yeah. Like, maybe he's trying to figure out what would happen. What happens on the other side of death? What are you going into? Are you just going into a black hole? Or are you getting launched into this, you know, consciousness of existence where colors are colliding and the black hole ignites and all the rest of it? And maybe there's some hope there after all.
Was Zen a nihilist?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't because I challenged, and that was one of the things that surprised me when I.
Because isn't that what we originally thought
when
from
we
his
did
other
Plague
song?
Flowers of Kaleidoscope? Yeah. You know, I talked about nihilism and all the rest of it, and I was talking about how, you know, all the beauty of the album and the album cover, because the album cover was like a bunch of roses that came together to be a skull and all the rest of it. And so, so I asked him straight up in the interview, like, hey, you know, how close were we? And he was kind of like, well, it's half and half, because it's talking about, like, how you deal with bad situations.
So.
And then and just this life, you know, because at the beginning it's all like that Spanish flair and everybody's partying
and then
it gets dark and it's life and you got to find ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a particularly nihilistic, you know, perspective. And this one kind of has some traces of hope in it. And, you know, there's a lot of like hopelessness and, you know, like for example, or like, you know, allusions to suicide here to some degree, like flesh to flowers and blood to rivers. That seems to me to be an allusion to suicide, you know? Flesh to flowers, you know?
Yeah.
Because your flesh turns to flowers either on, you know, flowers over
a coffin. Yeah, but why does it have to be suicide? Why can't it just be death?
Could be. It could be. But it looks like, you know, is this the end of the flesh? So it could be
crowned in teeth and severed wings.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Oh.
It could be just a natural death, but I don't think so. I don't think they're talking about natural death here. It looks to be like something he's doing. To some degree, but we'll start from the top. Citadel of hope and white fire, hearken a choir for kings, transcendence crowned with teeth and severed wings. Is this the end of the flesh? A choir for kings, crowned in teeth and severed wings. Good Lord. So king, you've got kings here, and their crowns are teeth and severed wings. There you go.
Like,
go ahead. What you got?
Are you saying there's literally like a king and he has a crown that looks like teeth and severed wings? Or are you saying this is like some, you know, reference to some like demonic thing where, you know, like whenever people like picture like they'll like picture like teeth and like broken wings, severed wings because they're fallen. Or is it something else that you're thinking?
Well, the name of the song is Devour Me, Colossus.
What's Colossus?
Colossus is like this almost like invincible strength. So like there's a guy in the X-Men named Colossus. You know the big muscle guy? His name is Colossus. It's like this this it's like this like invincible strength.
Okay.
So I'm assuming here that Colossus is death.
Okay.
I'm assuming that Colossus is death because, you know, you're asking death to devour you, basically. Because there's kind of this romanticism of Colossus, of death in the song. And I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
So, if that's right, and it's devour me, well, the only you need teeth to devour.
Yeah.
Right? And sever.
So then is that death?
Right. It's like, you're a king and you're transcendent, but at the end of the day, you're going to be devoured just like everything else. That's why it says, is this the end of the flesh?
Oh, okay.
There's this passage in Isaiah where it says, like, you know, the kings go to meet you as you go down into Sheol. It's a bad guy. And then the kings say to the other king, have you become weak as we are? You know, and it's just like, hey, you were this big, you were a badass on the earth.
Right.
Well, now you're dead.
Yeah.
And you've become as weak as we are.
Yeah.
So there you are. Here's your crown. You know, your crown is you're being consumed by death. Is this the end of the flesh? My prison and my salvation. That's why I think it's kind of like death is a prison and it's a salvation, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Right. So
if
you look at it as I'm just going to go into nothingness at the end, then it's salvation in the sense that if you're experiencing pain in this life and then you go to nothingness, that's preferable to pain.
Yeah.
But it's a prison in the sense that you're not getting out of it.
Right.
Sheol. You're not getting out of Sheol.
Yeah.
That's it. A call from the void. Pale tentacles enthroned, alone dying, down with my trade leeches, O lover, melancholia. There it is again. O lover.
Yeah.
So there's some lover that he's courting and that he's going back and forth.
And you think that might be death?
I think it might be death. And then, you know, melancholia, you know, melancholy.
Yeah.
They actually used to, they didn't call it depression. Like back in the day with David Brainerd and Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, they didn't call it depression.
They didn't call it depression. They call it melancholy.
Yeah.
So you'd read in Edwards's diary, like, you know, prone to melancholy.
I didn't know that melancholy meant depressed. I just thought it meant like, kind of like, meh.
Yeah, that's the word that they would use.
It sounds like more mild than depression. Depression seems like you're down, where melancholy just seems like, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Is that just me misreading that? Keep past the water.
No, I don't think you're misreading it. I just think that, you know, as language evolves, you have certain connotations. Mm. And so, like, we look at... Now depression is the clinical term. But the clinical term back in Edwards' day was melancholy.
Okay.
And, you know, people, if you read his diary, like, people had melancholia to the point of death. I mean, it's the same thing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, I actually was watching something, and the guy said that he liked the term melancholy better than depressed, because he's like, depressed, it's like, you know, like a pothole or something like that, like an indentation. It's like...
Ew.
Yeah, that's what depressed means. Like, depress the button, you know, to push down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it means to be pushed down, whereas melancholy is a lot more poetic and beautiful, in my opinion.
I agree.
And then it's, you fill my lungs, am I undone? Where I swallow the light, drown me in your arms. There it is again, so deep. Abysmal wormwell. Because if the, you know, it says wormholes.
Yeah.
A wormhole is like that little tear in space where you go through it and you go into another dimension and all this. So it's like the abyss. So if you combine the term abyss and then wormhole or wormwell, it's like drown me into your arms. It's kind of like being enclosed into just darkness. Mm-hmm. But it's a very poetic way of talking about being enclosed into darkness.
Yeah.
You know, this is an abysmal world. So again, it's fathomless. Like you can't fathom eternity. Mm-hmm. You can't fathom death. And so again, it's kind of like... It's kind of dealing with death as sort of this, like, eternal blackness and wormwell and all that. But then as it goes down, you start seeing colors in my world and bloom and all the rest of it. So it's kind of wrestling with this idea that...
the prison and the salvation.
Right. And then the emptiness of the blackness of death, like, wanting that. But at the same time, maybe there's hope that you could have an, a burst of colors and all the rest of it, and then your world could finally be in bloom on the other side of whatever this black hole is that we call death. Because there's all these theories about what's on the other side of a black hole, you know, and so if you were to use that as a metaphor for death, it's kind of the same thing. Like everybody has a theory,
right.
But nobody really knows until you go. And of course we say, well, no, because we know somebody who went there and came back.
Right. Right.
So, it's just a very, very, very...
It's so weird because, like, literally, like, 10 minutes ago, I was thinking, I've always thought it was weird that nobody, like, conquered the grave. Like, there's, like, so many smart people and so many, like, scammy people and
right.
like all these different, but nobody was able to trick death and come back. But then wasn't even thinking about Jesus. I'm not sure why. That's what he said. I'm like, that's right. He did.
Lilo, guarantee you Lilo's going to comment. That's because
it
you
didn't
were,
happen.
You were, right. Lilo's going to say it's because you were too tired for your Christian bullshit. But it is an interesting thing that we're saying that mm-hmm. that somebody went to that wormhole and came back.
Right. So... Do you think that, were you done there?
No, go ahead.
So do you think that Zen and Tim's vocals were supposed to be communicating the prison and the salvation?
The darkness and the beauty of what death is. You know, especially if you're speculating that there might be something beautiful on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, yeah. I think they're smart enough. I think they're both intelligent enough to kind of do those appositions and rely on the audience to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already saying, well, you guys are going to have to figure out these lyrics, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, you remember on that Dark Knight, that Batman movie?
Mm-hmm.
The Joker, the man that passed away?
Heath Ledger.
Like, remember he was saying, like that he was so much in character that like he like
yeah,
said something really weird. Yeah, like took him over, something like that. Like I wonder if like for Zen, if it's like art to him, or if there's or if it like affects him psychologically at all that he's always the dark character.
Well, you know, I always say that people are who they are. So it's like maybe he was he was a big black metal head mm-hmm. before he started the band.
Uh-huh.
It was dark before.
Uh-huh.
So he's been the dark character.
Yeah. But
the music is the expression of who he is. And I think that's the same thing with Heath Ledger. Like because my brother was an actor. My older brother was an actor for a long time. And like, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's interesting considering what he does now, but
yeah.
Considering how we all turned out, it's very funny. But he would tell me like, oh, so and so is really good, and he's like, you know, you get to a point with acting where like all of them, like at a certain level, are just amazing, like mm-hmm. you know whatever. But like nobody could have played that role the way he played it.
Yeah.
Because it somehow like melded into, and obviously there was something going on with him. Because
right.
he left this world, you know, under those circumstances.
Yeah.
And I want to respect, don't want to speculate. But my point is that there was some sort of latent darkness there that was, that character gave him the ability to kind of express and embody, at least for a couple hours. Musicians, on the other hand, and lyricists and poets, there are not a lot of lyricists / poets in the metal game right now. It's him, Zen, I'd say, Danny Filth, the dude from Magua, in my opinion. Like lyrically poetic people
uh-huh.
That are not just writing words to go with the music, but are actual like poets,
uh-huh.
right? Like I just think that he you know, he has to wrestle with those concepts a lot, you know, of life and death and ultimate issues and things like that, you know. And I think
doesn't everybody?
No, I don't really. I think people have to deal with have to wrestle with existential issues. When someone dies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the main, most people are not like that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know,
makes you think he has to wrestle with it?
The conversations I just think that people that are drawn to certain music or make certain music, certain genres of music, already have a sort of predisposition to thinking that. I mean, think about all the conversations that we have in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all around metalheads. And they're all very, very deep conversations. Like, have you, how many, like, just fluffy...
No, it's true.
But they're all... It's not an accident.
Yeah.
Like, they're all... We all came together through this venue, this genre
yeah.
of music. And I think that it creates... Like, look at Magua, Exercises in Futility. The entire record is about wrestling with nihilism.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this all mean? And trying to piece it all together.
Yeah.
So I just think that he, you know... He's one of those, it's a gift and a curse to
yeah.
have to deal with that. And of course, the gift is he gets to express it through music and
right.
and share it with everybody and challenge us lyrically with these things. So that's what I think, you know.
Interesting. Okay.
Anatomy of space and time, gathered in veiled depth descended. Are these God's tears in this pitch black tomb, or the pain of my memories? That's interesting. Well, it's kind of like this meta thing, like the anatomy of space and time. Like, what is all this made up of? Mm-hmm. Gathered in veiled depths, like the mystery, you know. Are these God's tears or the pain of my memories?
Are they tears or tears?
Are these God's tears, like tears, or the pain of my memories?
Oh.
See what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, from a Christian perspective, we say God looks at the pain and suffering that people go through, and he weeps with them.
Yeah.
Because we see that in Jesus crying with people. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is the exact image of God.
Right.
So we can extrapolate from that God cries with people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is that what's happening? Because are these God's tears in this pitch black tomb? Because what's the most famous aspect of God crying?
With Lazarus.
Jesus wept. So there's weeping in a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like that's probably an allusion to that episode where Jesus weeps, but he's weeping by a tomb.
Hmm.
Or the pain of my memories. Maybe there is no God and there's nobody up there that feels bad for me. It's just my own painful memories, like
wow.
An echo. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And those, that's what you have to deal with. When you're going through horribleness and all the rest of it, it's either there is a God up there who loves you and cares about you and does. We were reviewing one of the firesides we had where I was going back and forth with one of our atheist friends, and he says he had a very interesting definition. He said that God, he said atheism is simply the lack of the belief that God, that there's a God up there who cares about us.
Yeah.
Which is not what generally modern atheists say. It's the lack of belief in God or gods.
Yeah.
But it was a very interesting Freudian slip.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I'm an atheist because I don't believe God cares about me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I didn't jump on it because at the time I didn't want to make that an argumentative point because there must have been a lot of deep personal shit for him to define it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it's not the official, I mean, that's deism to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's not atheism, that's deism. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, having to wrestle with that concept. And, of course, if you say, okay, well, God does care about you, and you're a pitch black team, and you're like, why the fuck am I alone then, you know? And people have to, you know, wrestle with those ideas. Were the pain of my memories of all suffering, awake architects, the mother, the father, the eye, trumpets bellow, the ripples transfigure, wretched am I. Whoo! This guy, man. That's interesting because from a Christian perspective, when the trumpets blast, that's the end of all suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
When he says all suffering, awake architects, is he saying that things are being built from our suffering?
Yeah, I think so. It's either things are being built because of your suffering, or the architects of your suffering. You know, like the architects are there to construct your suffering, basically. The mother, the father, the eye, I don't know what that means. Did you have a stab at it?
No.
Wretched am I. Excellent song. We're only gonna spend half an hour because we were like, we're so tired and blah blah blah. But it's such a deep song lyrically and musically that we couldn't do it. Okay, what do you give the song?
10.
You seem like resigned to
Because I feel like Can I give one band 2 tens? I've only heard 2 of their songs, and both of them are 10s. Like, but I do think this song can go put it backwards, put it forward, and this is some really, really good stuff.
If you put this song backwards 20 years, it's like light years ahead of its time.
Yeah, but I still think you'd find people that would love it.
Oh, I agree 1,000,000,000%. If you put this song. I don't know what it's going to be in 20 years. Like, for example, when you look at hip-hop, it's like it goes from, you know, the hip to the hop to the da-da-da to then Rakim, who, like, completely revolutionized it.
Uh-huh.
And then to Jay-Z and B.I.G., who, like, revolutionized lyrical complexity and things like that. but then it's reverted to fucking cold, like, Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what the hell? Like, you figured there, I thought to myself, whoa, like, after Big and Jay-Z, like, you're going to have, like, somebody's going to come with some lyrical complexity that's going to be out there. And then I put Eminem in that, too, like, genre, like, you know, like, whoa, there's going to be somebody that comes with some fucking, somebody's going to have to do something to push the genre forward. And hip-hop has gone backwards, terribly backwards. Yeah. To, you know, the mumble rap and all that shit. You know, Alec, you know, I'm still going through your playlist, my guy. Cold like Minnesota, okay? Like, so in 20 years from now, God forbid.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally, that this happens to metal. But you could see a reversion in metal, and then somebody digs this up and goes, holy shit, how
why did we get so far?
So my point is, in 20 years, this still might be light years ahead of its time.
If
what happened to hip hop happened to metal, don't you let that happen.
I feel like that wouldn't happen to metal.
Why?
I just feel like never mind.
Oh, you're about to say some real racist shit. Yeah. Well, look, I'll say this: if hip hop would have stayed in the East Coast, that wouldn't have been a problem.
There.
Wouldn't have been a problem. But because hip-hop went all global and all over the place, and now we have shit like Cold Light Minnesota, now we have a problem. If that girl would have stayed in New York, we'd have been straight. She'd have been fine. Now she's all basic. Okay, and you're still racist as hell. That's great. I give this song a 10. This is absolutely a 10. Unbelievable. I've literally never heard that middle part. I've never heard something like that before in my entire life. It was insane. I don't even know how they came up with that. I don't know how.
I'm so glad we didn't do the live version.
They must have been like,
so we can see it live.
In practice, I gotta talk to them. Like, yo, how did you come up? I'm gonna ask them, and I'm gonna put that shit on video for you guys. I'm gonna pull the guitarist and say, how the fuck did you come up with that, my guy? Because I've never heard anything. Have you heard anything?
No.
We've done only I don't know. Great song. It's a 10. It's classic. This is one of those things where it, like, pushes. I was talking to one of my friends from another band, and I'm like, what you guys are doing is pushing the genre forward.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I don't know anything about prog or anything like that. I've only heard two or three other prog bands other than this band, but I feel like these guys are at the vanguard of, like, pushing forward and saying and challenging everybody else to say, okay, fine, do the 12-minute song, but can you do this shit?
Right.
For 12 minutes? Fine. But if you can't, you gotta go back to the drawing board, because it's not just about skill. That's the thing about prog. It's like, oh, if you can do it skillfully, now you're a badass, so you're a good prog man. No. Like, there's some quintessence of what makes a song badass, and this shit right here is like a challenge to all the other prog heads. Like,
yep.
Here you go.
Yep.
I love the song. Really, really good job, guys. See you tomorrow. Vin out.
Sorry, Al.
Gone.